Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the wonderful Wheel of Life and another international transmission of You Can't See Us with Starfire and Charlie.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Here we are in lovely Denton, Texas.
Back in the saddle here. We got our good friend today, Eric Tarr, E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Yes,
howdy, howdy.
Give it up for E.T.
Howdy, howdy.
In front of a live studio audience here, folks.
That's the way.
That's the way. Well, I'm just kidding. It's not really live.
Those are dead people.
Those people were alive at one time, but
yeah,
they are no longer.
Probably. So, we got a lot to fucking talk about, man.
Yeah.
We're here with E.T. Say hello, E.T.
Hello, hello.
E.T.
It's good to see you boys again.
It's good to see you again, man.
Yes.
So what we're doing right now is we're sitting here. I've got a glass of wine. Starfire's got a glass of wine. And E.T.'s got a glass of water.
Yeah.
And we're going to just chat here a little bit. We got a lot of things to talk about. Like, I thought we had a lot of things to talk about.
Maybe we don't have anything to talk about.
I went on a three-day acoustic run.
You did, man.
I went from Athens, Texas, to Houston, Texas. To
yeah, Lubbock, everybody, Texas. Give it up for Athens, Texas.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice. Thanks. Yeah, I think there were some people from Athens out there.
Yeah, yeah,
it's awesome.
But in Athens, I was hanging out. The guy who booked me is a guy named Brian, and he booked me for this. He owns the bar there in Athens, and he road managed for Hunter S. Thompson for a while.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
Wow, no shit.
Like, when he would do, you know, lectures, and Hunter would always go to colleges and stuff and do lectures, and so he was telling me Hunter Thompson stories that...
Wow.
They were pretty badass stories. Like, one of them...
Hunter was a crazy motherfucker, man. I bet he had some
crazy
shit.
Yeah, so I guess he was there in Washington, D.C., and Hunter had a matinee lecture. It's not, I say lecture, but when he did lectures, it was basically people asked him questions and he would talk, you know?
He would talk at them?
And talk at them, yeah. Exactly. And so he's doing the matinee and he's getting real irritated. He's in a bad mood or something like that. And Hunter's, if you don't know who Hunter Thompson is a author slash dope fiend.
Slash genius.
Who, but needless to say, he did a lot of drugs. And he continued to do a lot of drugs throughout his life. Not like the cartoony way.
He's probably most well known for writing Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That's what the kids know him for.
Yeah, that's what the kids know him for. They know him for the Johnny Depp was in that movie.
Right, yeah. Johnny Depp played Hunter. Johnny's a good friend of Hunter's. Yeah.
Yeah. And Hunter's dead now, but he lives on in stereo hi-fi.
That's a good movie too.
Yeah. But back to the story.
Back to the material.
He's getting really irritated, and he's barking at the crowd in that way that Hunter does, you know. And he wants cocaine really bad. And there's teachers and students at this college, and he doesn't give a fuck, you know. He's like, who out there knows how to get me some fucking cocaine? And he's pointing at specific people. He's like, hey, you with the beard, you know, do you know how to get cocaine? And he's getting real irritated, knocking shit over, leaves the stage, refuses to do the late show unless he can get some cocaine. And so Brian goes back there and says...
Brian's the guy from the club,
from
right?
the club.
Okay.
And he goes, Hunter, was that just part of the show or are you serious? You know, and he's like, I'm fucking serious. You know, I want some cocaine. And so he goes out to this girl in Washington, D.C. He's like, you know, is there any way before the next show you can... get Hunter some coke? And and she's like, I could try, you know. And so he goes back there and he's like, what do you want? Hunter's like, I want an eight ball. And
give me an eight ball.
Yeah. And so he gives him money. She comes back with an eight ball of coke for Hunter Thompson and gives it to Brian. Brian goes back there and he said that Hunter always made it, if there were people around, he had to call him Dr. Thompson. And so he's like, Dr. Thompson, here's the coke, you know. And so he did the late show. The girls who got it for him stuck around and he did the late show, and the whole time he had the drugs sitting off to the side in the wing of the stage. So he would just walk out there, do some, come back on, and continue the show, you know, real quick.
That's awesome.
And so he did the show. He goes back there. Brian's out there. He goes and settles up the money and stuff like that, and goes and talks to these girls again, and they're like, hey, is there any way that, you know, we can meet him? And he was like, yeah. He's like, well, let me check. I'll see if I can set that up. And he goes back there, and Hunter's like, yeah, give me 10 minutes. So they wait around for 10 minutes. They come back, and he opens up the door with these two girls, and he's like, Dr. Thompson. And, you know, he's in the dressing room over in the bathroom, comes out of the bathroom wearing army boots, big high socks, boxers, a white wife beater, and has a tape recorder duct taped to his head. And he's walking around with this mirror, just writing gibberish and he's walking around with this mirror, you know, doing coke off of it. And so he goes, and he looks at the girls, he goes, hi, I'm writing. Brian, take the girls in the bathroom and wash them up, and I'll be ready in 5 minutes. Take the girls into the bathroom and wash them up, and I'll be ready in 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
But needless to say, that the girls left immediately. he was like, before I could turn around, they already walked out and were gone.
Wow. That's a great story, man. Yeah. Wow. I bet that guy has some insane
stories. He's got some gems.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. So, E.T., what have you been up to, man?
Man, I just, you know, playing music.
Playing music. E.T. is a phenomenal guitar picker.
Here now.
A fucking telly player and a half.
That's right. Oklahoma native, Eric Tarr.
Yes.
Plays with us a little bit. He's going to start playing with us some more again, but we've been on hiatus with doing our weird shit that we've been doing.
Doing that weird shit.
Yeah. We had the vibraphone last night and the steel guitar player with us.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was fucking fun. That was one of the best times I've had playing.
Yeah, we were just...
Where was that at?
Boiler room here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Man, I still ain't got to play there.
Yeah. There was nobody there.
Yeah. It was crazy, man. I mean, it's a really cool place, but like, it's kind of hit or miss, you know?
Exactly. Either there's a really good crowd, or sometimes there's just nobody.
Yeah, sometimes it's like packed, but last night it was not the case.
Yeah, but we always use that gig as sort of a way to do something different.
Boiler Room's kind of like our hometown bar right now.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
You know, so we just have fun, kind of.
Yeah, so Burton played with us from 1100 Springs, steel player.
Yeah, that dude's phenomenal.
And then Nick, our keyboard player, played the vibes instead of the keyboard, and it was badass. So.
Yeah, it was. I had no idea, man. I knew he was, you know, a monster on the keyboard, but I didn't know that he could wield the mallets like that, man. He was insane. Man, he looked like, I don't even know what
he looked like. He looked like some sort of like Mozart up there just going fucking
nuts.
Yeah,
his hair was like going crazy, and his solos were just out of sight. Man.
Yeah, dude, it was nuts. I mean, like, he has cool solos on keyboards, but I like the vibes even better, man. Like,
funky, fresh Nick Gresh. He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah. So you just sold your house, and you're moving to Austin, Texas.
That's right, man. I'll be a Texan.
I don't think that you're going to be a Texan. I've lived in Texas for, 7 years or something like that, and I'm still not a Texan.
Well, it's as close as I'm going to get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too, I guess.
Yeah, I sold my house, drove down today. Good to see you boys.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. So you're going to, you're playing with Martindale at Rhymes and Vines, right?
That's right, tomorrow. Now, what is this deal? Because I don't know.
You remember we played the Larry Joe Taylor Festival?
Right.
It's like a smaller version of that. You know, it's on the smaller stage where but...
It's still a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, in some ways, I like it better. It seems more intimate.
It's not as big. It's more like hardcore people that want to go out there.
Yeah, and actually listen. It's not just a bunch of drunks. There's a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
But it's not just like a bunch of college kids going nuts and puking all over the fucking place.
The troopers.
Man. I mean, that's fun, too, though.
Yeah, that's definitely fun. I love... But by the time Rhymes and Vines rolls around, you're ready for it, and then you're like, you know, this, and you're there, and you're like, this is better than Larry Joe Taylor's festival. And then by the time Larry Joe Taylor's runs around, it's like, oh yeah, I remember now.
Yeah,
this is
like,
badass.
Yeah, this shit's fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's the largest Texas music festival in the world.
Yep.
That's right.
And Rhymes and Vines may be the coolest.
Yeah.
That Gillies deal, man. I was laughing myself.
Captain Gillyweed.
E.T. knows Captain Gillyweed intimately. Not intimately, but...
Yeah, not like that.
They've been fucking for years.
Jesus.
Shit.
Shit. Oh, you haven't...
How is Gilly?
He's great, man. He's just worried as ever.
Man. Yeah. He's the only guy I know that when he texted me shit, he texted me like thumbs up and thumbs down. I'm like, where the fuck you get that shit? Where's that technology at?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know where he gets that stuff, but he texted me these little bitty pictures, little icons, you know?
Yeah.
Gilly Weed is, you know, he's got all the happening shit going on. He out there at sea. See, he seems like such a civilized person, but he's really a fucking pirate, you know? It's crazy.
He is.
How many pirates do you know besides Captain Gilly Weed?
I don't know any.
Yeah.
Besides Gilly.
Yeah.
Gilly was the first one I met.
Yeah, me too, man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what you thought it would be, would it?
No.
No, you know,
not even
you
close.
No, yeah. You thought that, I mean, pirates would be, he's really well kept. He shaves, you know? And he, I don't know. He's just an interesting little character. It's not anything out of the movies.
No, huh? Just clean cut, sharp looking fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would never know he's a pirate.
Yeah. You just sit there and you look at him and all of a sudden you get stabbed in the throat with a fucking sword and
all your gold doubloons are gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the treasure map gives it away too.
Right. And he drinks like Coors Light or something like that. You know, the whole rum thing is a complete myth.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm always trying to give him shots of rum and he's like, no.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's kind of typical. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets mad at me for going with the stereotypical pirate shit.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I don't know many pirates. I'm getting to know him, you know.
And exactly. Now we know what pirates sort of like and dislike. At least one pirate, you know.
Right. He's like, we all look alike or what?
He does like Long John Silver's. We learned that.
Yeah. You know?
That's awesome. Yeah, or at least hilarious.
Yeah exactly. Or well, ironic. Is it ironic? No. It's
hilarionic.
There's a word for it. It's fucking stereotypical.
Stereotypical, that's the word for it, bitches.
It's very stereotypical, but it's not the right word. I mean, it is the right word, but it's not the one that I wanted to convey my feelings with.
I'm feeling another word, too.
Yeah, man.
I'll get it in a second.
All right.
You can't see us, but we're
to leave a message for Starfire and Charlie and possibly be on the podcast, call area code first, 206-338-3542.
So, Dr. Octagonopus, he's a huge Dave Matthews fan. Dave Matthews is playing this weekend in Chicago two nights at Wrigley Field. Dr. Octagonopus lives across the street from Wrigley Field, literally. So he's sitting in, I get a picture mail on my phone yesterday, and I pull it up. It's a picture of the doctor and Dave Matthews with their arms around each other in an embrace of the likes you will never see.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
So the show's tonight, so I'm thinking we should try to get him on the line.
How does that motherfucker do that shit?
He gets, it's the second time he's met Dave Matthews. The first time he just got an autograph, second time he was like, I'm going for the picture. He's just lucky. He thinks he's so unlucky, but he's so lucky. Nobody else does that type of shit. But he's very also persistent.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. He
said I was just sitting in a bar. I'm like, of course you're sitting in a bar with your eyes glued to Wrigley Field, seeing. And he walks by, gets a cab. They have a little conversation while he's trying to hail a cab and take a picture.
Dave was getting a cab?
Yeah, Dave was getting a cab.
Wow. Just a regular guy getting a fucking cab.
Yeah, Dr. Octagonopus hailed the cab for him.
I bet he did.
He did,
dude. He probably jumped out in the fucking street.
Dave needs a fucking cab!
I can see that shit happening, man.
But we need to get a report on him. What we're going to do is still, for the listeners, Dr. Octagonopus does not know that we have a podcast, but we call him all the time for the podcast, DT.
Oh, that's great.
Let's get the doctor on the line then.
Hello?
What's up?
Nothing.
Are you excited for the show tonight?
Oh, dude, I'm fucking pumped, man. Especially like his little stroll down the street with Dave Matthews. Yeah, pretty good week.
Yeah. What are you doing now?
I'm walking down the street towards home.
Oh.
I just went to I went to Harry's for a beer. I ran into the guy who bartends for the lounge and shit.
Yeah.
And you know the bald guy that you always see bringing Dave's guitars and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were both in there sitting next to me at the bar, and we started talking. And I was like, man, I really recognize this guy from somewhere. And then it came out, bartender. I was like, fucking lounge bartender. I was like, I knew you. He's like, nobody got the wrong guy. I was like, no, I don't. I was like, I fucking know now. I was like, Alpine Deer Creek. I saw you. And he's like, yeah. He's like, that's me. He just starts laughing. I was like, yeah, dude. And then we like chat and drink a couple beers together and chat some shit.
That's
he's
awesome.
Like, man. He's like, God damn, I can't wait for the summer to be over. Like, I wish I didn't have to work tonight.
So they have
like, well, your fucking drink. Huh?
They have a bartender that works with, that travels with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
He runs the backstage. You know how much money that guy probably makes in the summer?
$650
Oh, probably a shit ton, dude. Probably at least six figures.
You think he makes $100,000 over the summer to bartend for Dave Matthews?
Oh, yeah, dude. You know, when I go back there, because you're getting free booze, and pretty much everybody back there knows somebody in the band somehow, you know? Or, like, knows someone that works for the band. So when you go back there, you get a drink. You're tipping $10. You know.
Yeah, that's
so, like,
true.
Like you look in this guy will have like a bucket that you put beers in, and it will be full to the top, an hour into the thing with 20s and 10s, and you know, it's like he's probably making $3,000 or $4,000 a night doing that.
Jesus. So
because I mean, because it goes all the way until like you know, 10 minutes or not 10 minutes, but like a half hour left in the show.
So when you met, or when you got the picture taken with him, you were at Bernie's?
Well, I was at Bernie's, and then I saw two hot chicks. I was like, ooh, what's going on here? And they're taking pictures, and I thought they were just taking pictures. I mean, it was way far down, like, past the fire station, you know? Like,
yeah.
Probably halfway down Wrigley. And I'm, like, looking down, like, oh, my God, it's fucking Dave. And so I just, like, took off out of the bar, and then I ran back to the bar, and I was like, Jake, man, will you come with me and take a picture? And there was no one there, so he's like, oh, yeah, dude, I'll come. So he grabs my phone, and I take off running down the street, and he stays by Bernie's. And I go, what, like, you know, I ran a block and a half. And I'm like, hey, Dave, what's up, man? And he's like, hey, not much. And I was like, how's your day going? He's like, pretty good. What about yourself? I was like, oh, I'm, you know, can't complain. I was like, hey, is there any way, would you mind taking a picture with me? Is that cool if you have time? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, no problem. He's like, but would you, walk with me? And I was like, okay. And we just, dude, he walked so fucking slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he walked so fucking slow. Like, it was almost like, you know, where you take a step and you could count 3 seconds between steps.
That's the time in a Dave Matthews walk.
Yeah, it's very slow. And so, like, we just start talking. You know, we start talking about the weather first, and he's like, bitchy. He's like, man. He's like, felt good this morning. He's like, did I come out? And he's like, it's fucking cold. He's like, I was like, yeah, dude, it's fucking Chicago, man. What do you expect? I was like, this is how it is. You go through four seasons in a fucking day. And he just kind of chuckled, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, we saw these weird-ass kids. Like, you know, like the kids that wear like the makeup and the fucking all black, and they wear the boots with spikes on them and chains and shit.
Yeah.
And every inch of their body pierced. We see these two kids walking, and he's like, "Look over there!" And he like points, and he's like, "Look at those weirdos." And I look over, and I'm like, "Holy shit!" I just start laughing. I was like, "Yeah, dude." I was like, "People are fucked up." He's like, "I know." He's like, "What is wrong with people?" I was like, "You're asking the wrong guy."
Yeah.
I was like, you know, and we just kept shooting the shit. And then, like, as we got closer, Bernie's like, man, I've been trying to find a cab for 20 minutes. And I was like, I'll get you a fucking cab right now. And I, like, ran out in the street, flagged one down, and it pulled over. And, like, I turn around, he's doing, like, the Dave cackle, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, thank you, man. I was like, there's your fucking ride right there. And then, like, we get to Bernie's, and he, like, turns the corner and keeps walking. I was like, yo, 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 yo. I was like, I'm fucking drinking in here, man. This is my stop. He's like, oh, cool, cool. He's like, yeah. He's like, listen, we can do this picture thing. And so Jake takes a picture of us. And then he walked down to his cab, and I was like, hey, man. I was like, I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time. I was like, I hope you have a good weekend this weekend. He's like, oh, it's going to be good, good times for sure. He's like, thank you very much, man. He's like, thanks for giving me a ride. And I was like, hey, anytime. And he's like, thank you, you know. And he fucking got in the cab, shook my hand. I was like, thanks, dude. And he took off. I was like, this was awesome.
You didn't see if he wanted to come to the house and smoke or anything?
Oh, I should have fucking dude. I wish I would have like thought about it more because like, dude, at Bernie's, it was Jake and I, and we were listening to My Morning Jacket. We like built the show that we just went and saw, you know.
You built
a playlist. Like built the set list, you know. We were like, oh yeah, and we just played it through. I should have been like, dude, it's just me and this guy because that's all that was in the bar was Jake and I. I should have been like, let me buy you a beer real quick. Yeah. Like, we just reconstructed the My Morning Jacket show from a couple weeks ago, if you'd like to take a gander. And I wish I would have said something about minarets.
Yeah.
I wish I'd been like, hey, I wish I'd been like, I know you probably hear this show all the time, but, you know, I haven't heard minarets in like 7 or 8 years. It'd be fucking kick ass if you played it. Or I should have been like, hey, what the fuck happened to Break Free, bro? I cannot wait. Couple hours from now, I'll be fucking jamming out.
What do you think? What do you think the opening song is going to be? What if it comes out, opens up?
What do I think? What do I think, or what do I want it to be?
Well, I bet it. I think my prediction is that he'll open up with Last Stop.
Not tonight. Tomorrow night.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. All right, what do you hope it is?
Minarets.
Yeah.
Oh shit! They're going fast.
What?
They're doing soundcheck. They haven't started playing music yet, but I hear people going, check one, check two, check, check. Oh, man, do some soundcheck. Do some soundcheck. Let me hear bump, 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 down. But I also think the opener might be Squirm, Big Eyed Fish, and the Bartender for the first three songs.
Yeah.
I still cannot believe I met Dave yesterday again. How random, you know?
Yeah, the first time you just got an autograph in Dallas, I was there that time.
Yeah.
But now,
this time, like, I actually talked to him and went for a little stroll and then got a picture with him and shit. I had a hail in the cab.
You gotta call me as soon as the show's over so I can get an update on what the set list was.
Oh, yeah. It'll be great, dude. You need to get an iPhone, Charlie. You can get the DMV app.
Is that set list, real-time set list?
Yeah, real-time, every night.
Two nights with Dave, across the street from your house.
And I met Dave yesterday. It can't get any better unless Dan comes through and tomorrow I'm backstage.
I gotta go. I'll call you back.
Yeah, hit me up.
All right. Bye.
All right, so we were out at the Larry Joe Taylor Rhymes and Vines
festivities.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun out there. Saw a lot of good folks,
a lot of
good people. Man, we played out at the campfire. That was cool.
We only got to do one song because we had to drive back. But
yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, well, we had to. we really needed to drive back.
Yeah, we stayed too long.
Yeah,
but that's what happens when you're having fun, you know. We were out there and we saw. Who'd we see? We saw Matt Wayne, Cody Gill.
Yep. Mike McClure came in.
Yeah, somewhere during our conversation with Matt and Cody, we got interrupted with Mike, so we got a little piece of audio here.
We went on this bus and did a little bit of interviewing. There's a lot of interruptions and stuff. We tried to edit that out as much as possible, but this is what we've got.
It's some of the flair of the LJT experience. So check it out. It's our little... little bit of fun than we had the other night.
So
go ahead and enter.
We're here at Rhymes and Vines in Larry Joe, Texas.
Larry Joe, Texas, Melody Mountain Ranch.
Melody Mountain Ranch with Matt Wayne and Cody Gill.
Yes.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
How y'all doing?
Amazing.
Awesome. All right.
Better now, yes.
So what I think that we should do is that since you, I mean, all my band are just hippies and don't even know anything about Texas country anyways, so
if you would interview them.
Me being Starfire.
You being Starfire. If Starfire would interview
for
them.
For our vast legions of listening audience.
No.
If it happens, it's all right.
No. We don't make anybody look stupid. Swear to God. If you sound stupid, we won't use it.
Yeah, so. Exactly. He's right about that.
So, since you probably have better questions, because you don't. I know these two.
I barely know you guys.
Yeah,
you barely know. I kind of know you,
yeah,
but
man,
you don't know me
for anybody. Yeah. It's all right. It's all good, man.
So here we go. I'm Cody Gill. How are you doing out there?
I am great. Everything's wonderful. We're
having a good time out here
at
Rhymes.
Yeah, we're doing. Yeah, you know, I was just having a blast. You know, it's just music up and down. It's just great. Now, we had a lot of fun. We had the power go out on us halfway through our set, which was exciting.
Shit.
Twist of fate, but it did happen, and we just rock and roll through it, and did a little acoustic set just while I got the
right on. So you rocked
the transformer, so it was exciting.
Wow, man!
Yeah, it was cool.
Must have been bringing the rock then, right?
We try to, you know, we do what we can. Let's try to bring the rock when it's possible.
Yeah, because I mean, we saw the Flaming Lips. Remember when we were at the Flaming Lips show and the power cut out twice?
Yeah, they
twice in one set.
Twice in one set, and that was because they were putting on the best show that.
Well, you know, we did have two
man.
Lead guitar players doing. They were doing twin harmony lead solos at the same time. So I mean, that might have been what was doing it. There was
so that was what was
rock.
Happening whenever it was going on.
Yeah, you know, that's what I've heard according to these specs on some of these transformers is that there's so much rock allowed in there.
There's only so much guitar solo.
And they have little charts that show how much rock is allowed into it. And apparently, we went too far with it. And I'm sorry, Larry Joe, for blowing your transformer.
It became a mountain instead of a rock. And once it became a mountain,
the peaks were too high.
Yeah. Exactly, man.
Wow, you need to compress them peaks.
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane, man. So you guys powered through it with an acoustic set?
Yeah, actually, it was just me. I got out there. Well, my brother-in-law, Jed Zimmerman. So I thought, well, I have an acoustic, so I'll just entertain the crowd. And I got, like I said, my brother-in-law, Jed Zimmerman, who just got there playing some acoustic set. He got up with me and...
Right, he played earlier today,
right? Yeah, and we did a few tunes together.
Jed's got a song.
I know Jed.
Right? Yeah, we know Jed, yeah. but Jed's got a song about something about cocaine that I fucking love.
Coffee, cocaine or coffee?
Yes.
Cocaine or
heard
coffee.
It around the campfire.
That song... Yeah. That song almost brought me to tears.
Do you remember
one night,
me and you one time did Texas New Mexico Line at Cooper's Barbecue?
Yes.
And you did that, and you sang harmonies and played lead on that song.
Yes.
And there's one of Jed's tunes. But yeah, Jed has he's got some great tunes. He really does.
He's a great fucking writer.
Great singer songwriter.
That's awesome.
It's cool having another singer songwriter in the family. You know, we've kind of been bouncing some lyrics and stuff back off each other.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
I would love to have Jed in my family.
Yeah, he's cool.
Tell me a little bit about the band. Where are you guys from?
We're from Stephenville.
Right here in Stephenville.
Right here in Stephenville, and then you know we.
So do you have a record out and?
Yeah.
Or,
and where can we get that record?
Well,
to?
It's pretty much the standard cliche. Hastings, of course, has it. You can get it everywhere online.
Yeah,
cool.
And we have two records. We have which one not many people know about, but we have our King of Your Hometown album. That's been out for about a year now, and we released three singles off of it. And then we had one we did about 5 years ago with Mike McClure.
Cool.
And it was really cool, man. We did a song with a guy out of Lubbock by the name of Kerry Swinney.
I love that motherfucker.
Yeah, we did a tune of his called Love Is Never Caged.
Cool.
And we redid it, and we kind of put our twist on it and brought in this old B3 player from Austin named Riley Osborne. He came in and just laid down this sick organ tracks on it and stuff. So we did our first album with Mike, and then we did our second album here in Stephenville. And we're getting ready to start working on our third project.
So you guys, y'all out touring a lot, playing?
We're every weekend, man. We're heading down to Green Hall tomorrow.
Dude, hey, Mike, you want to be on our podcast?
You know,
you want to be on our podcast?
No, Charlie.
I know you probably don't. But would you be willing to be on our podcast?
Sure.
Am I on it right now?
Yes, sir. You are.
Well, I'd love to. Yeah. Glad you asked.
No, we have several subscribers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, several.
Relatives?
Six or several. Six or several subscribers.
Yeah, there's like...
No, there's literally like 400, right?
Right, yeah. You know, give or take
300.
Give or take 375.
Well, we have 400 fucking
downloads of each podcast.
Right, in that, you know, I've downloaded it a few times. Mm. But
well, you got to try it before you buy it.
And it's free, so.
It's free, so.
Oh, well, scratch what I just said. Fix that in post.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So how you doing, Mike?
I'm good.
Mike McClure we got here.
Yes, sir.
On Uncle Crapper's bus here.
Uncle
Crapper's bus.
Damn, it feels good to be me, don't it?
Here we are at the Rhymes and Vines.
Rhymes and Vines. What do you want to know about me?
What I want to know about you is how you got so good looking.
Well, a lot of it's in the jeans.
Yeah.
I could take these jeans off and show you. So far, so good here. Yeah, exactly.
And we edit this. This is not like a situation where there's awkward silences and we keep them.
I'm a big fan of awkward silences.
Well, I know, but listeners aren't. Are we just going to stare at each other, Mike, for a little bit?
It makes for good podcasting.
Yeah, we got a lot of generator noise.
Yeah.
We'll just
we're on a bus.
We'll just boost the generator noise for the awkward silence.
Cool. Well, good. That ought to wrap this up, huh?
Yeah. <That's cool. laughs> We got Matt Wayne here.
It's fierce.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm absolutely amazing.
How is your mustache doing?
You know what? It's kind of lacking in one spot, but it's overall doing
it's like
okay.
It's very Freddie Mercury.
How are your 9 necklaces doing?
Man, dude, I know. I got 3 necklaces. I'm like Mr. T over here. But
it's not necessarily like Mr. T.
If you had the fucking mohawk, then man, that would be so fucking cool.
Can we shave your head into a
my
mohawk
best friend,
right now?
This is my best friend's
and
necklace.
Maybe that and van too.
He quit wearing it, and he left it at my house, and I was like, dude,
you stole
it's my
shit.
Best friend. So I put it on, and he doesn't
it's
get it back.
Stuck, huh?
And then he bought me this for $1 at Trader's Village.
So you got some sort of weird relationship with your best friend.
Nah, he's my best friend, man.
What's he think about the mustache?
He hadn't seen the mustache.
Has he felt
he's
it,
in
though.
For a treat.
Excuse me.
In for a treat, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Gary Stewart.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I had this done almost 2 years ago. And then the guy who did it saw it and was like, dude, Gary's looking sick. Sit down. And I was like, all right, so.
I did a show with him at Old City Limits. He comes wheeling up in a Cadillac, laying down in the floorboard in the back. And it's like, wow, there he goes. And then I went into VW's office, and he's in there trying to force feed him a cheeseburger because he was just all over the place. But he got up on stage and just nailed it, man. You know, just honky-tonked its ass.
That's one of the shows that I've
That's not, one for the podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
That's one regret I have is it's not getting to see
it. Yeah, it was really good, man. Of course, I've never seen anybody go from that just bomb to stage ready.
Yeah.
Besides myself.
I've seen Rusty do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on this bus with Rusty and just like looking at him like, man, is he going to play? And he fucking, you know, got up there and just fucking
rocked it, man.
Played the.
Yeah, it was all about
fuck
it.
Fuck out of the show.
All about it.
True story.
Yeah.
That's my only Gary Stewart crossing and your tattoo.
So you got two of them then?
Yeah.
There's a new Gary Stewart crossing.
Something to add to your repertoire.
Yeah, it's in my bio. Molly,
throw that up on your website then.
And here we are now with Matt Wayne. And
his mustache.
His Matt Wayne's mustache. What, does it have a name?
No, I haven't named it yet. I don't think it's worthy of being named yet. Now, maybe after another 6 months of letting it grow.
Yeah,
where you know gets maybe like
it's
a quarter inch long.
It's just something.
It's pretty bad.
Are you really gonna let it grow for 6 months?
No, I don't know what I'm doing with it.
All right, so you have your record that is out that you gave to me last week.
Yes.
And what is it called?
It's called Wrong Things Right.
Wrong Things Right. And you have the single on the ranch that's doing pretty well called Wrong Things Right.
Yes.
Let's do some Wrong Things Right.
Yeah.
And
well, not us, but. You know.
Maybe us, but
only Larry Joe Taylor. Right?
Yeah. Tell us, Matt Wayne.
Yes.
What your vision is right now?
But you know, I don't care if I'm the next biggest thing. I don't. It's whatever. I want to do this forever, and I want to be able to do it well enough to be able to do it forever. Because this is what I like. This is what I love. This is what I know. I mean. If this doesn't work out, I mean, if I don't push this to everything it has, for one, then I'll know for the rest of my life that I never pushed it as far as I could push it, you know, or as hard as I could. So I want to do it as long as I can until there's absolutely no point in me doing it or I have to do something else. But I don't know, I just, this,
that's the way to be.
I don't want to, what am I going to do, go plumb? I don't want to plumb. I plumbed for 2 years. I don't, you know, it's a shitty job. If I want to work hard, I want to work hard at something I love. And it's, you know, I don't love plumbing. I don't like, you know, I don't know. I like music.
Where do you see yourself? Not necessarily where you see yourself, because I see myself on fucking Mars. Next year comes around, this time next year, Rhymes and Minds.
Planning on being on the stage.
See you guys.
Bye, brother.
See you next time, man.
Okay, so different subject. Mike McClure is sitting on a bus, and I'm sitting on the bus right next to him or across from him, sporting Mike McClure's shirt.
I was
fucking
thinking
awkward.
About that.
Fucking awkward,
it's
man.
It's not awkward. People talk to me with my shirts on all the time.
Yeah, yeah. But dude, but you know, shit. It's
now
a little
there's
different.
There's some fucking
it's a little different.
Shit right there.
It's
that's
a little
what
different.
I was waiting for.
No, dude, seriously.
Trust
yeah.
me. I've known Mike for 10 years, and he looks at that, and he doesn't know.
Dude, he probably
didn't
even recognize that's his own shit.
He probably, no.
He really
I don't know.
Doesn't, man. I'm really, I'm telling you.
I dig his shit,
this
and
who,
I like the shirt, and I wanted to buy it.
He walked in to work on our
you
album.
You bought it?
Yeah,
that's,
I bought it.
That's different. That
you
actually
bought
paid
it.
Money
yeah,
for
but
it.
I didn't buy the
stole it
I didn't buy the guitar strap that he gave me. So I guess that makes it a little, because I still, my,
he gave
I,
you a guitar
yeah,
strap?
Yeah, man, I played at 8-0.
In Sundance Square, lovely Sundance Square in Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes. I don't remember who the band right after me was. But I remember
was
Mike McClure was headline.
Asshole.
It was not you, was it?
No.
Was it you?
No, it wasn't me.
Damn, I feel like a dick.
I fucking remember
like,
it.
So no,
I love the fact that Cody Gill has a hat that's almost like mine, but it's like if I completely fucked up my hat.
Dude, it took a lot of time to fuck up this hat.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that looks like a well-worn
it,
hat.
It's a well-fucked-up hat.
Yeah,
like,
that's a well-fucked-up hat.
It's intentionally fucked up like this. I went to a guy that...
That fucks up hats.
No, he really he fits like custom Stetson hats and shit. Dude, I told him I was like, I want something different. I don't want anything like anybody else's. I had this fucking hat. I was like, well, do you have anything else? And he's like, let me see it. And I handed him this hat and he took it, he fucking wadded up in a ball and sat on it. And then he gave it back to me and goes, there you go. And this is what came out of it. I mean, it's just...
It's pretty badass.
That's the way to do it.
It's comfortable as shit, though. I mean, it's comfortable.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm on the podcast right now. We have
Sherry Joe Taylor.
We're putting that shit on the podcast.
Yeah, okay. Totally. Sherry Joe, everybody.
So the song of what's going on there? So the song of the week.
Yes.
Tuesday I'm going to do Ray Wiley Hubbard's Roots and Branches show at the Tavern on the Green, I think.
Oh yeah, New Braunfels. That's going to be cool.
In New Braunfels, yeah. And so I figured the song of the week this week should be his off his new album A Enlightenment, B Endarkenment, hint
There is no sea.
Awesome. Yeah, good idea, man.
So let's play the title track off of it. How about that?
All right, let's do it.
Here now is Ray Wiley Hubbard with A, Enlightenment, B, Endarkenment, hint, There is no sea.
Tarnished and disgraced, I lay down. A black sparrow come to me in a dream. He whispered, A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. And heaven pours down rain and lightning bolts. And heaven pours down rain and lightning bolts. Swollen and embarrassed, I rose up. A black sparrow was perched on a highline pole. It whispered, A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. And heaven pours down rain and lightning bolts. And heaven pours down rain and lightning bolts. Shaking, I looked down. A black sparrow was tattooed on my hand. It whispered, A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. And heaven pours down rain and lightning bolts. Oh, A, enlightenment, B, endarkenment, hint, there's no sea. In light moon, be in dark moon, here there's no say. In light moon, be in dark moon, here there's no say. And heaven pours down rain and lightning bolts. And heaven pours down rain and lightning bolts.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the podcast for this week.
Yes. Hope you had a good time. Thanks for listening.
We had a great time. I don't even remember who we all had on this. But we'll thank E.T.
E.T. We got to thank...
Cody Gill, Matt Wayne, Mike McClure.
Sherry Jo Taylor.
Sherry Joe.
Thanks, Sherry Joe. Tell Larry Joe we said hello.
Yeah, and...
And the good doctor. Thanks, good doctor, even though I know you're not listening out there, but...
Because he really can't hear us.
You can't hear us, you can't see us, you don't know shit, doctor.
Yeah. I guess, you know, let's thank Dave Matthews, too, for giving us a little bit of something to talk about.
Yeah, thanks, Dave, for making the doctor's life.
Yeah, seriously.
He's happy now, so...
And plus, the Bears just beat the Cowboys, so the good doctor is probably... ecstatic right now.
Oh yeah, he's probably shitting himself.
I'm pretty ecstatic about that.
All right, yeah, so we'll see you next week, folks.
Tune in. Be good. Fight inflation, not farmers. We'll see you around.
For producer James the Robot, technical engineer Nikola Tesla, and your host Starfire on the Mountain and Charlie Shafter, this has been another episode of You Can't See Us.